Today's daf is Yevamos daf Pei. We are holding on daf Ayin Tes Amud Beis. Today's daf is going to be all about a sris and an islandess, the definition of a sris chama and the difference between a sris chama and a sris adam. And then Amud Beis, we're going to really get into all of the various simanim of a sris and an islandess. What makes a person a sris? What makes a person an islandess? Today's shir is sponsored by Dr. Gordon Weingarten, Zecher Nishmas, his mother Bastia Bas Michael on her 40th yard site, the Neshama Shrav Naliyah, and we thank Dr. Weingarten once again for the sponsorship. We are holding on the bottom of Daf Ayin Tes Amud Beis. We are at Ikri Kan. The phrase is Ikri Kan, about four lines from the bottom of the page on Daf Ayin Tes Amud Beis. So the Gemara is going to explain Shitas Rabbi Akiva. Yesterday we had in the Mishnah that Rabbi Akiva, the Mishnah had said that Rabbi Yeshua held that a Swiss can be that there's a stira, that he had heard that a Swiss could be chaletz and chaletz and lishto, and he had also heard a Swiss cannot be chaletz and not chaletz and lishto. So Rabbi Akiva says, no, the difference is between a Swiss Adam and a Swiss Chama. A Swiss Adam, we can do chalitza, and we could do chalitza for his wife, because at least at one point he had a shasa kosher. Before he became a Swiss, he was a kosher. But a Swiss Chama, we cannot be chaletz. He cannot do chalitza, and we cannot be chaletz his wife. So the Gemara is, according to Rabbi Akiva, that a Swiss Adam can do chalitza because he had a shasa kosher that where he was able to be molded. So and it's just that right now he's not able to be molded. Ikri kan, should we say that the pasuk that talks about mitzvahs yibum is that the pasuk says lahakim laachiv shem, that he's going to, by doing the mitzvah of yibum, he's going to establish a name for his brother by having children. V'halav bar hachihu, but wait a second, a Swiss is not able to be make him shem laachiv by doing yibum, because he's not able to be molded. Answers Gemara, Amar Rava, Im Kain, Ein Lecha Isha Shekshir Liyavim. So Rava says, this proves that even someone who's not Roy Laholid Ach right now is still going to be considered included in the Chiv of Yibam of Lahakim Shem La'achiv, as long as he once had a Shasa Kosher. You have to say that once having a Shasa Kosher is enough, because if you don't say that, then no woman would ever be able to do Yibam, because Ein Lecha Isha Shekshir Liyavim. Every single person, right before he dies, when he's suffering terribly from his illness, right before the waning moments of his life, certainly does not have the koach to be molded, certainly cannot impregnate his wife. So if that's the case, no woman would ever need yibum, because she was always married to a sris. Her husband who passed away is always going to be defined as a sris. So what we have to say, therefore, is that as long as the sris was, the fact that he was a sris was only a moment before he died, but he had a shasa kosher before that, so he's not going to be considered a sris to pater his wife from yibum. So the same would be true by sris not requiring yibum, that it's not tali on how he is at the shasa yibum, that what it's tali on is whether he ever had a shasa kosher to begin with. So frak the Gemara, the Rabbi Lazar, according to Rabbi Lazar, that the wife of a sris adam does not require yibum because he's never going to have a refuah, peruka de Rava, Pirchahi. Rava's answer that there will never be such a thing as a Sris Chama, because there will never be such a thing as Yibum, because everyone's always a Sris Chama, Samach Misaso, so that's going to be a Kasha. Why is it that Taka, a woman, requires Yibum? Her husband always became a Sris that didn't have a refuah right before his death. So you have to say that the Chi of Yibum is Nikva based on whether he had a Shasa Kosher or not. So why is it that Rabbi Elazar disagrees with Rabbi Akiva in the Mishnah? Rabbi Elazar holds the Swiss Adam doesn't do Chalitza. The Swiss Adam had a Shasa Kosher. And so Gemara, Hasam Kechishusa de Ischila Bay. When a man is dying, we don't say that he became a Swiss a half hour before he died, or however many moments before he died. He didn't become a Swiss. He was beginning to die. That's a totally different matzav than being a Swiss. We don't view that as being a Swiss. That's not considered Srisus. So says Gemara, Hechi Dami Swiss Chama. What is an example of Swiss Chama? Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef, Amar Rav Yochanan, Kol Shalom Ra'a Sha Achas b'kashruso, that anyone who already from birth was a Sris. That's the definition of a Sris Chama. He never saw this world for a moment when he wasn't a Sris. He was born a Sris. Minoya Dinan, how would you know when your little baby's born whether the baby's a Sris or not? You could tell right away when the baby urinates that if it's not able to urinate with enough force to make an arc, then it's not. Then the baby is a Sris. But if it's able to urinate with enough force to make an arc, then it's not a Sris. So mimayavai, how does it happen? How does a baby suffer such a malady that by the time he's born, he's already a Sris? What could have happened? What could have gone wrong with the pregnancy? So the answer is the Gemara: two things the mother must have done. Da'afya ime b'tiara, she baked bread in broad daylight, in the middle of the day, and apparently the combination of the heat of the oven and the heat of the middle of the day affected the baby. Vishasya shichra marka, and she drank diluted beer, which or some say Rashi quotes 2 days, either shechra mazug or chazak, either diluted beer or the opposite, or extremely strong beer. But she drank something that had a negative impact on the baby. Those are the two things that she could have done that would make the baby into a Sris. Amr of Yosef, Hainu de Shaman la Ami de Amar Kolshim Me Imo Lakoi Vloyadana Mai Nihu. Says that's what they say, that anything that any baby that's Me Imo Lakoi, and I never understood what Pshat was, meaning someone was explaining Kolshim Me Imo Lakoi, I didn't know what halacha he was talking about when he said Kolshim Me Imo Lakoi, that there's a halacha that applies only if the baby was afflicted with this from the time of its very birth. What was it talking about? Now I know that this must have been talking about a Sris Chama, that the definition of a Sris Chama is only when it's from its very birth that the baby is suffering from this. V'lecho shem hivri b'netayim. Frankly, Mar, just because the person is a Sris now, and the person was a Sris at the time that he was born, how do you know that he was a Sris, that he never had a Shas Kashrus, that he never had a time where he wasn't a Sris? Maybe at some point in between his birth and right now, he was hivri b'netayim, he became healthy. And so, Gemara, kivin d'tchilos v'sof alakoi, lo chashinan. When at the beginning he was suffering, he had this problem, and now he has this problem, so we don't have to be choshesh, he has a chazaka to make a kara that he has this problem, he has a chazaka to hashta that he has this problem, so we're not going to make up that in between, maybe the problem went away. Masa Rav Mari, Rabbi Chanimah, and Tigin Nesom are both going to sell Shalosh Pam B'toch Shmonim Yom. But wait a second, is it true that just because there's a Chazak Dmeikar that he's got this problem, a Chazak Da'asha that he's got this problem, that we're not Choshesh, that maybe he got better in between? When it comes to Bechoros, and we have to be Bodek for a Mum on the Bechor to see whether it's a Bechor Bal Mum or not, so one of the Mumin that the Mishnais talk about is a certain Mum in the eye that has to be an 80-day long Mum, and then we know that it's a mum kavua, because if it's a mum over, it doesn't count as a mum. So there's one of the mumen that's defined as if it's there for 80 days, then you know that it's a mum kavua. So Rabbi Chanin ben Atigina says, you have to, in order to know that it was there for 80 days, you have to check three times. One at the beginning of the 80 days, one at the end of the 80 days, and one in the middle of the 80 days. Aye, but why isn't just checking at the beginning and at the end good enough? After all, chazak d'meikar, chazak d'ahashta, why in the world should we be choshish and anything changed in between? So don't you see that by mumin, we're not choshish, that we are choshish that something changed in between. Why are we here? Are we not choshish? So says the Gemara, l'chali v'chashinan, l'kulei gufa l'chashinan. When it's about one limb of the body, we're talking about the eye of the animal, so then we're going to be choshish, so maybe something changed in between, maybe it got better, and that's why we have to check in the middle. But when we're talking about Sris, Sris is something that affects the entire body. That's considered Lekule Gufa. Rashi points, Sris Chama Machmas Choli Kalagufu, because Sris is a symptom. It's not it's not the disease. You can't call it only one limb, because it's a symptom of the fact that the person is otherwise sickly. So that's how Rashi seems to be saying, that it's Machmas Choli Kalaguf. It's because he has a Choli Kalaguf that we're gonna label him as a Sris. So on such a thing, we're not gonna assume that if he was sick at the beginning and he was sick at the end, that he somehow got better in between. Now, Rav Mari tries to prove that even if a person was suffering from this ailment at the beginning and at the end, that were choshesh in the middle, that maybe he got better from the case of Bechor. The Aruch Lener just points out that it's a difficult comparison to compare a balmum of Bechor to the issue of sris, because the Aruch Lenor points out what's the comparison by mumin? He was not lucky mitchilas priyaso, meaning a mum by definition is something that did not happen when the animal was born, something that came later. That's why we have to be bodik batchila. We have to be bodik batchila to see that the mum is there. So if b'lei daso he was healthy, maybe that's where there's makom to be choshesh, that maybe in the middle he got healthy also, because we know he had a shasa, the animal had a shasa kosher, at least when it was born, as opposed to over here, the baby, even b'lei daso, even when it was first born, had this problem. Furthermore, the Aruch Lenor points out, even there we're not choshesh stam that it got better at some point in between. Because if that were the chashash, then it wouldn't be good enough to check at some point in between. We'd have to check every day, because at any given day, there's the chance that maybe it got better. No, what's going on by the Bukhar is that it must be that this is some sug of a mum, this is some type of a mum that on a given day within the 80 days sometimes gets better. I don't know what day it is, but there is a specific day that Rabbi Chanan ben Antigonus must be referring to, let's say day 40 of the 80 days. So you dafka have to check on that day, because that's where the concern that it got better will be a legitimate concern. But it's not stam that maybe it got better at some point in between. If that were the case, you would check it every day. By the sris, so it's not a raya that by a sris there's a concern that it would have gotten better stam at some point in between. So that's the Aruch Lenor. The Aruch Lenor leaves both of those kashas. So says the Gemara further. Now we're at the two dots on Pei Amud Aleph. Rabbi Lazar Omer Loki. So in the Mishnah that we had yesterday, Rabbi Lazar said disagreed with Rabbi Akiva's analysis. Meaning again, we had a stira that Rabbi Yeshua raised, that on the one hand we say a sris can do chalitza, on the other hand we say a sris cannot do chalitza. So Rabbi Akiva made the chilik between a sris chama and a sris adam. But the way Rabbi Akiva made the chilik is that a sris chama cannot do chalitza, a sris adam can do chalitza. Rav Lazar disagreed. He said, no, a sris chama can do chalitza, because at least a sris chama might have a refuah one day. A sris adam cannot do chalitza, because we don't look whether he ever had a shasa kosher, we look forward. A sris adam is never going to become kosher again, he's never going to have a refuah, and therefore he cannot do chalitza. So says the Gemara, Raminhu, ben esrim, shanav lo evishtei saros yaviyu rayishu ben esrim, vu asris. If a person is 20 years old, and he's evishtei saros, he grows two hairs, so then you bring a raya that he's 20 years old already, and that's the definition of a sris, meaning even though he has shtei saros, but if it's after, they only come in after the age of 20, so that's a raya that he's a sris. Rashi points out, kolomar v'noldubo simani sris. It has to be that he has the simanim of a sris also, meaning Amud Beis of this daf is going to be all about the simanim, the various ways of telling whether someone is a sris or someone is an islandist. So we have to say that it's not just stam that he's 20 years old and he didn't have Saros yet, he needs the Simani Swiss as well. And once we define him as a Swiss, lo cholitz v'lo mi'abim, he cannot do chalitza or yibum. If a woman is 20 years old and she didn't have shtei saros at the age of 20, even if afterwards shtei saros may come, but she didn't have at the age of 20, so she's going to be an islandist. And she can't do chalitza or yibam. That's Beisil's opinion. Beishami says, no, it's all defined by the age of 18. 20 is not the critical age, 18 is a critical age. That whenever it comes to physical maturity, we always assume a younger age for a woman than for a man. So he says, when it comes to a man, so you're right, Beis Hillel is right, we should go with 20 years old as the guide, that when a person is 20 years old, if he doesn't yet have shtei saros, then we could declare that he's a sris. But when it comes to a woman, it's 18 years old that we assume. So apparently, according to Rabbi Lazar, well, what kind of sris are we talking about over here? We're not talking about a sris adam, we're talking about a sris chama. And he says that once the person is defined as a sris, lo chaleit. So apparently, according to Rabbi Eliezer, even though he may have a refuah one day, he's still not going to be allowed to do chalitza. Sris chama is not allowed to do chalitza. It says stiru with our Mishnah, because our Mishnah said that according to Rabbi Lazar, a sris chama can do chalitza, because yesh lo refuah, one day he will have a refuah. So that's the That's the stira. Amar, so the Gemara is going to give two answers to the stira. Amar Rami Bar Dekuli, Amar Shmuel, Chazabo Rabbi Eliezer. That Rabbi Eliezer changed his mind. Meaning, Enochinami, it's a stira, and that's why we have to say that that at some point Rabbi Eliezer changed his mind. Ibailu, Mehe Hadarbe. Okay, he changed his mind. So which one is the more authoritative version of Rabbi Eliezer? Is it the Mishnah where Rabbi Eliezer says that a Sris Chama can do Chalitza? Or is it this Brisa where Rabbi Eliezer says a Sris Chama cannot do Chalitza? So Tashma, Detanya, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Sris Chama, that we have another brisa that says that according to Rabbi Elazar, Sris Chama can do chalitza, we could do chalitza on his wife, because they can get better. It is possible for a Sris Chama to have a refuah, because we've heard of incidents in Alexandria Shel Mitzrayim where people were a Sris Chama and they got better from being a Sris, they had a refuah, and therefore Rabbi Eliezer in the Mishnah is the more authoritative Rabbi Elazar, because in the Mishnah he said that a Sris Chama can be cholitz and cholitz on the ishto. Why is this brisa any more authoritative than the other brisa that we quoted? How do we know that necessarily the Mishnah is correct just because we have this this brisa? So Rashi points out that sami hachdele el mekametarti, that whenever you have two against one, it's a majority. We have the Mishnah and this brisa against the other brisa. So we see that he must have changed his mind from the other brisa, meaning that the two is where we emphasize. Inami mitkamaisi maisa dal zandriel the dvarav shvam namudalel hadabe. So the other possibility is, the other explanation is why this brisa is considered to be the raya that he was chozer from what he said in the earlier brisa and not chozer from what he said in the Mishnah, is because in this brisa he brings a raya from what happened in Alexandria Shel Mitzrayim. So we see why he would have been chozer. We see a motivation for changing his mind, that he saw something happen. He saw that there was evidence of a reality of a Sris Chama having a refuah, so that would have been a reason to change his mind, and that would therefore explain that originally he must have held that a Sris Chama cannot do chalitza, but then he changed his mind and he held that a Sris Chama can do chalitza. That's one way of dealing with the stira. Another way of dealing with the stira, says the Gemara, Rav Lazar Omer, Liolam lo hadarbei, v'chitna nahi lo onshin. That really he never was chozer from what he originally held. Rav Lazar still holds, like the Mishnah, that a Sris Chama choleitz choltzim l'ishto, he could do chalitza. When does Rav Lazar say that we follow the definition of Sris according to Beis Hillel and the definition of idleness according to the Beis Shammai? Yeah, that's not talking about Hilchus Chalitza. That's talking about Hilchus Onshim. He's saying that in terms of defining if he's a Gadol or a Katan, so in terms of Onshim, we're gonna go with the age of 20 to say that until he's 20 years old, he's still considered a Katan if he doesn't have Shtei Saros. But from the age of 20 and on, even though he still doesn't have Shtei Saros, he's considered a Sris, and therefore he's Chayiv in Onshin Minatora. But not to say that he can't do that he can do chalitza, or can't do chalitza either way. But we thought it meant that he can't do chalitza, not to say that he can't do chalitza, maybe in a chinami. But we're just trying to emphasize, Rav Elazar is just trying to teach that when it comes to onshim, that he's considered a katan until the age of 20. After the age of 20, we consider him a gadol. Itmar. Achal chelev mi ben 12 v'yom echad ad ben 18 v'nold bo siman esris u'achar mikein hevi shtei saros. What if it became the person did some sort, one of these isurim within any isur in the Torah, eight chelev, something that you should normally get malchus for, between the age of 12, and Rashi and Tosfos both point out the age of 12 for a girl, or the age of 13 for a boy, until the age of 18 for a girl, or 20 for a boy, at least according to Rabbi Lazar, and then it's noldebol simani sris, and he had simani sris, we see that he was a sris, and then afterwards he was hevi shtei sa'aros. So even if afterwards he was hevi shtei sa'aros, Rav Amar Nasa Sris L'Mafreya, Rav says if he hit that age, that higher age, whether 18, 20, and didn't yet have shtei sa'aros, so it turns out that he was a Sris the entire time. Meaning what happens? When the boy becomes bar mitzvah, he becomes what we call bar mitzvah, he becomes 13, and then he doesn't have shtei saros until, and he turns 20, he still doesn't have shtei saros. So do we say, okay, now he's a Sris, but that he wasn't a gadol until now. Now, at the age of 20, he became a sris, because now we know that he did, was an evi shtei saros. Do we say no? At the age of 13, he became a gadol. We thought the fact that he didn't have shtei saros meant he wasn't a gadol, but now it's a gloy milsul afreya that he was never destined to grow shtei saros, and therefore he was really a gadol at the age of 13. So that's the machlokas Rav and Shmuel. Rav says he becomes a sris lemafreya, that we assume that he was a gadol already from the time he was a bar mitzvah, and he's a sris lemafreya. And Shmuel says, no, he was a katan ayabos hashah. He was a katan from the age of 13 till the age of 20. He only becomes a gadol now at the age of 20, but he does not become a sris lemafreya. So the idea is, that's the fundamental machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. If you look at Tosus over here, Nasa Suslam Rafreya, Veloki al Chelev Sha'achal, Telochash Vasra Safik, Tosus explains that when we say that he's Nasa Suslam Rafreya, that we assume he was a gadol the whole time, he became a Sris, even going back retroactively, Shitas Rav, that would mean that he'd get Malkus on any Chelev that he ate between his 13th birthday and his 20th birthday. Why don't we consider it Asra Safek? Whoever gave him Asra didn't know whether he's a gadol or not. It was a Safek. Even if the definition of Asra Safek, the way we normally define it, is when someone says to you, don't eat that, don't do this Isser, because if you do this Isser, you can get Malkus. Asra Safek means that it could be that if he does this Isser, he won't get Malkus. Meaning we don't know. There's something else that has to fall into place. We're not sure. It could be that he'll violate your Hasra'ah and he still won't be Chayiv. So isn't this a classic example of Asra Safek? You go over to the 15-year-old kid that's low heavy shtei saros. Don't eat that chalev, because if you eat that chalev, you can get malchus. Then he eats that chalev. We still don't know that he'll get malchus. Maybe he'll grow shtei saros the next day, and it'll turn out that he was a katan at the time of the asra. So why isn't this considered asra safek? Says Tosos, afagav de b'shas asra ha'yisafek, shemi yavi saros kodim yudchas. Even though at the time of the asra, he might still grow shtei saros before he hits that maximum age, so he still might be a katan. No, because now that he grew the shtei saros only after hitting the age of 20, so now or the age of 18, so now we know that he was really a gadol already at the time of the asra, and that's not called asra safek. What's an example of asra safek? A child doesn't know who his father is, so you give him asra, don't hit that man because he might be chayv misa, and don't hit that man because he might be chayv misa, and he hits both of them, but either one is asra safek because he doesn't know which one is his father. That's a case of Asra Safek, because even after he hit them, he still doesn't know which one his father is. It's the suffix still remains. But over here, after he does the Avera, and he grows the Shtei Saros, or doesn't grow Shtei Saros by the age of 20, so now there's no more Safek. Now we know, if he didn't grow the Shtei Saros, that he was a Gadol at that time. So even though at the time of the Hasra was a Safek, the Hasra, the Safek was taken care of later on, and therefore it's a glory Milsul Mafreya, that he was a Vade Gadol, that's not called Asra Safek. Says the Tosi Shanim, Ubezanicha de lo dami lo omer lo al tosir, de chash v'le Talmud Asra Safek. He says, but wait a second, the classic example of Asra Safek is a case of Nosar. Why is Nosar Asra Safek? Because I tell you, you better not leave that over, you better eat that carbon meat, because if you don't eat it, it's going to become Nosar, and the guy doesn't eat it right when I warn him. B'tochadei Dibor, he doesn't eat it. Is it necessarily going to become Nosar just because he didn't eat it that moment? Maybe he'll eat it a moment later, and it won't become Nosar. So it's Hasra Safek. I don't know that if he violates my Hasra in that moment, that he's necessarily going to be Chayv Malkus, because he may not eat it right now, but he'll eat it in 5 minutes from now, and then he won't be Chayv Malkus. So, but wait a second, in that case, that's called Hasra Safek, even though it will be when he then does need it till the next day, we'll see that it was Vaday, that he violated Nosar. So he says, no, that's still called Asra Safik, Lefisha Le'olam Lo Yizbara Adavar Shetei Asra Asra Zvaday Debishah Shehisla Al Tosir Adai Nishus Biyom La'ukhla Ubisof Hayom Lekal Merim Diyav Shal Tzamtim Avalacham Yizbara Adavar Shei Gadol Bishah Sha'achal Chelev V'gam Kiyas Asra Zvaday. It says to us, Yishanim, there's a difference. In our case, at the moment of the Asra, we now know that he was a Gadol at the Shas Asra. By the case of Nosar, at the moment of the Asra, we still don't know anything. It's nothing was a glowing milsul mafreya. We just now know that not only did he not eat it that moment, he didn't eat it the next moment, or the next moment, or the next moment. But at that moment, nothing was igloy l'mafreya. There's nothing that became clear at that moment. So that's always going to remain asra safik. But over here, it's igloy milsa l'mafreya that it was really asra's vaday. So that's the chiddush of Tosfos, that this is not considered asra safik. The problem is several achronim raise a whole bunch of different questions. Rabbi Kiveger and Chulin Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis. The Gemara over there brings a raya that we go bus a rov. How do we know we go bus a rov in general? So the Gemara brings a raya. How can you ever be mechayev rotzeach misa if we don't go bus a rov? Why? Because maybe the person that he killed is a trefa. Maybe he's not chayev misa. Maybe the person that someone murdered is really a trefa. So the Gemara says, no. Maybe you'll check and you'll check the body. You'll do an autopsy and you'll see if he's a trefa or not. So he says, no. Still, you wouldn't know, because if let's say he was a stabbing victim, maybe dafka pumped in the place that the murderer stabbed him, that's where he already had a hole in his lung anyway, he already had a hole in his heart anyway, so he was going to die anyway. And we can't tell now from an autopsy, because now it's a stab wound, but maybe it was a hole anyway. So it must be that we go basarov. Fractosos, without that, it's not going to help to check the Nirtzach after the Ritzicha, because at the time of the Ritzicha, it was Asra Safek. Maybe the Nirtzach was a Trefa. Meaning, even if Tos asks, even if we're not going to be, we're going to go Basarov, but at the time of the, it's not going to help to check the Nirtzach. Meaning, even if you want to say, oh, we'll check the Nirtzach, and then we'll know that he wasn't a Trefa. No, knowing now that he wasn't a Trefa doesn't help. At the time of the Asra, you didn't know that he wasn't a Trefa. At the time of the Asra, he could have been a Trefa. So, by definition, we shouldn't be able to be Mechayev Misa anyway, according to that Havamina. So, Rikveger asks, wait a second, that's Tosas Kasha. According to the svar of Tos over here, that's not asra safek. If we're able to be mevarer one day that he was vada not a trefa, so yeah, the autopsy would help. So what's Tos asking in Kasha, that the autopsy is not going to help anyway? It's asra safek. According to our Tosfos, the autopsy absolutely would help, because you're going to be able to mevarer it one day in the future that at this moment he was a ben kayama, that he was not a trefa. So that's Rabbi Kiveger's Kasha in the Chulin. So Rabbi Kiveger explains Tos over here a little differently. He says that it's that Tos over here means not that afterwards we're going to know bevadai. What Tos means is safik is only if the safik is whether it's a maisa avera or not a maisa avera. But when what you're doing is definitely a maisa avera, and the safik is only whether the guy is a bar chiyuva, he's a bar onshin or not, that's not called asra safik. Meaning when you're killing someone who may or may not be a treifa, so that's asra safik, because I don't know if I'm doing a maisa ritzicha or not, because the person, the victim, may be a person that's subject to murder, maybe a person that's not subject to murder because he may be a trefa or not. But over here we're talking about a person who the person who's about to commit the crime, we don't know whether he's a bar onshin or not. That's what we say is not called asra safek. We know for sure the act he's doing is a maisa avera, we just don't know if he's a bar onshin. Hard to read that into Tosos, but that's what Rabbi Kiveger says, that's what Tosos really means over here. Okay, vaitin l'gemar, maskev l'rav Yosef l'rav, Islandus the mayor Yehila Knas. Again, Rav is one that said that he's Nasus Rislam Afreya, that it turns out that he was a gadol the entire time. So he says, well, wait a second, why is it that we assume that if a person is Ma'anis in Islandus, that there's no Knas payment to the Islandus? Because we assume that she's a Katan, she's a Katana at that time, at that age. Well, why do we assume she's a Katana? She should have a Knas. Let's assume, like Rav, that if it turns out that she's an Islandus, when she hits the age of 20 and we now know that she's an Islandus, it will turn out that she was an islandess the entire time, and therefore that means she was a gadola the entire time. She was not a katana. Yeah, it will turn out that she was a gadola, but she was not a nara. The only person that gets it, the only girl that receives a knas payment is a nara. It's not enough to be a gadola, to be a bogeres. This girl went straight from being a katana to being a bogeres. Never had that in between stage. So he says, very good. That's exactly, you see, Shlomi say such nice Torah in my name. The Tanya, Einas Ris Nidon Kemensor Amor, Lefisha In Mensor Amor Nidon, El Bechassim Azakan Atachton. A Sris is never going to be labeled Mensor Amor, because Mensor Amor can only happen when he has, when he grows hair in the pubic area. Vein Islandus Nidonus Kanaram Rasa, Shemikat Nusa Yotzal Veger. And an Islandus cannot be become Narum Rasa because Mikatnusa Yatzal Vegar, from the, if she goes straight from being a katana to being a bogeres, she never has a din of a Nara in between. Now the Aruch Lener points out this din of Ben Sora Mara. We're saying, why can't he ever be a Ben Sora Mara? A Swiss can't be a Ben Sora Mara because he needs to have Chasima Zakana Tachton, and a Swiss is never going to have that. He's never going to have that much body hair that he's ever going to be eligible to be a Ben Sora Mara. The Aruch Lener just points out that if you learn the Sugi in Sanhedrin, it's Chasima Zakana Tachton is not when he becomes eligible to be a Ben Sora Mara. That's when he becomes no longer eligible to be a Ben Sora Mara. Meaning the Gemara says that he becomes a Ben Sora Mara from when he has Shtei Saros ad Sheyakiv Zakana Tachton. That's when he's a Ben Sora Mara. So why is the fact that he's never going to have Hakav Zakana Tachton make him ineligible to be a Ben Sora Mara? Adrab, it should make him eligible forever because he's never going to time out. He's never going to have, or just 6 months. So okay, after 6 months, it'll be over. There's a 6 month window. So he won't physically get to that point. So the Aruch Lener says, the makor of this din, Ben Sora Mara, Zakat Sheyakiv Zakana Tachton, from the Pasuk, Ki Yeh Li Ish Bein, where the Gemara in Sanhedrin Samaches Darshins, Ben HaSamuch Lug Gvuraso Shalish, that a person can only be a Ben Sora Mara when he's Samuch Gvuraso Shalish, when he's close to the point of Gvuraso Shalish. If this person is never going to have a Zakana Tachton, he's never going to be Samuch Gvuraso Shalish. I mean, it's not that when he gets Gvuraso Shalish, that's just the time where he's no longer able to be Ben Sora Mara. It's the time where he is eligible to be Ben Sora Mara has to be just before he has Chasima Zakana Tachton. The few months before he gets to the point of Chasima of Yaakov Zakana Tachton. Well, he's never going to have that, so you never have the moments before he's Makiv Zakana Tachton. That's what the Aruch Lener explains. Very sharp insight into the timing of Ben Sora Mara. How do we paskin over here? Do we paskin like Rav or do we paskin like Shmuel? Is the person considered a gadol from the age of 13, or do we only consider the person a gadol from the age of 20? So the Torah quotes from the Ramah that we paskin like Rav, that he becomes a gadol mafreya, and anything that he sold from the time he was 13 is mechira is kayam. That's what the Ramah paskins in Evan Ezra, based on that Ramah, that a katana that didn't have shtei saros and does miyun, and then it turns out she was an islandess, her miyun doesn't help because she was a gadola, and a gadola is no longer eligible to miyun. But we paskin al mafreya, says the Ramah, she does become a gadola like Rav. However, the Yamshel Shlomo is medayik from the Rambam in the second parak of Hilchos Ishos that the Rambam paskins like Shmuel, that he does that the person does not become a gadol mafreya, because the Rambam writes higil is manazeh, once they reach the age of 13 below hevi shtei saros aval piru she nirubo simani sris hareze katan ad shia ben esrim. He says it's going to remain a katan until he turns to the age of 20, and only then will he become a gadol, meaning not lemafreya. So that seems to be the machlokas rishonim, machlokas whether the paskin like Rav or the paskin like Shmuel. So Yamshel Shlomo just wonders, why would the Rambam paskin like Shmuel? Generally speaking, the rule is Hilchsuk Rav Bisurei, Hilchsuk Shmuel Bedine. This isn't Dine Mominus. Why would he passing like Shmuel? So he said the Beis Meir is Metaritz that this is an Isser either. It's Onshin. By Onshin was not considered Bechlal Isser. So that's why we don't say the Alach Rav Bisurei when it comes to Din of Onesh. He still says, I'm not sure why to yes passing like Shmuel. I mean, it doesn't seem that we have a Raya one way or the other, but at least it's open to Paskin one way or the other. Amar Rav Yavo, back in the Gemara, four lines from the bottom. Amar Rav Yavo, Simani Sus Vailinus Uben Shmona, Enos Ben Maisa Achiu Ben Esrim. That Simani Sus Vailinus and someone who was born after 8 months of pregnancy, we don't do any mice and Achiu Ben Esrim. We can't do anything to them to treat them like a dolim until they turn 20 years old, and then we'll know whether we can treat them like a dolim. So, practically, Mara Ben Shmona Mika Chai, someone who's born after 8 months of pregnancy can even survive? What do you mean, until he turns 20? He's not going to turn anything. He's going to die within the first 30 days. Vatanya Ben Shmona Reu Ke'even, Vasalutalo, a baby born in the 8th month of pregnancy is considered like a stone, and you're not even allowed to be Metaltalim on Shabbos. Is mukta avul imo shochal of manikaso. The mother can lean over him in order to nurse him mipnei sakana, for the sake of sakana. As Rashi points out, sakana shnehem haben vea im shleir bechal vadad mitinanis v'tamus. That it's going to be sakana for the mother to produce all of that milk and not do anything with it. So that's the now in Shabbos Rashi says only sakana se'im, because again, if the baby's going to die anyway, the baby's not getting anything. It's not a sakana for the baby. The baby's a stone. He's nevin domim. But over here, Rashi says sakana shneim, which is interesting. But anyway, bottom line is, you see that a ben shmona is not going to live anyway. Says Gemara, no, over here we're talking about a ben shmona who looks physically mature. He has fingernails in and he has hair. So we know that this is a child that would survive. The Tanya, Ezu ben shmona, kol shalok kol lo chadashav. Ben shmona is someone who didn't stay in utero long enough. Rebbe Yomer Simana Mochichan Lav Saru Tziparnav Shalom Gamru, that you could look at his hair and his fingernails, and if they're not grown in, then and he seems to be Ben Shmona, then he has a full din of a Ben Shmona. Time of the Logamru Hagamru Amrin and Hai Barzainu Vishtahuye Hu De Ishtahi. But if he seems physically okay, he seems to have fingernails grown in, even though he's born early, he's a preemie, he's not really a preemie. We assume that he was really a 7-month pregnancy, and he just waited a little longer till he came out. He stayed in longer than he really needed to. That's what the poskim point out. That we have the Gemara has an assumption that a yoledes letisha is any yoledes lemukutayin. That someone who's born from a 9-month pregnancy, it can never be born in the 9th month. It can only be born after 9 full months are over. And if the baby's born in the 9th month, then it's really yoledes lishmona, and the baby is a nefel, and it's never going to survive. So the Achronim point out, the Rishonim already point out, that doesn't seem to conform to the reality. People are always born in the 9th month, and they seem to be just fine. So some of them suggest, what do you mean? It wasn't really born in the 9th month. This was a yoledes l'shiva, meaning we often think yoledes l'shiva, this idea of a 7-month pregnancy being a full-term pregnancy, we don't have that anymore. We only have yoledes l'tisha. No, we have plenty of yoledes l'shiva. Most of them are yoledes l'shiva. It's just the baby is so comfortable in there, he decides to hang out for another month and a half after the 7 months are over. That's how we explain it. Or the other way to explain it is in the Shtana Ativin, that the Tava changed. That's what Rav Moshe discusses in the Tshuva, in the back of Rabbi Adir's Hilchos Nida Sefer, why you would say one way or the other, why you would say Nishtana Teva versus to just say that Ishtu Yehud Ishtai. Ela Hada Avid Rav Tosva Uvda Bisha Shalach Bailu Medina Siyam Ishtai Atresi Yarchi Shasa Va'achshere Kiman Kerebi Damar Mishta. So when Rav was Machshir someone who where the baby was born 12 months after the husband left town, so he's assuming like Rebbe that the baby can hang out and wait till he comes out. So Kivin Dikar Mishum Umliel Damar Mishtai Kerebi Mavad Titan Mishum Umliel Amar Kashra Lamed Yamba Adam Eino Nefel. It's not just Rebbe, Rav Shimon Liel also holds this way. So it's not so strange that Rav would pass in this way, because you have two Gedolei Atanayim that hold this way, that the baby can wait after the full-term pregnancy and still not decide to come out for another month. Both Rebbe and Rav Shimon Liel call that way, or even more than a month. Tan Rabbanan, Ezu Sris Chama. What's the definition of a Sris Chama? Kol Shu Ben Esrim Lo Hevi Shtei Saros. If he is 20 years old, still doesn't have Shtei Saros. Vafilu Hevi Le'achr Mikan, Harei Sris Lechol Dvarv. Even if he later grows Shtei Saros, it's too late, now he's a Sris. And these are the various simanim to know when a man is a sris. Kol shein lo zaken, he doesn't have a beard. Usaru lakoi, his hair is very soft. Ubisaru machlik, his skin is very smooth like a woman's skin. Kol shein meim of melon resichos, there's no foam that comes up when he urinates. V'yeshar mekolamatil mayim ve'enos akipa, that when he urinates he doesn't go on an arc. V'yeshar mekol shishich v'zaro doche, anytime his shichva zera is very watery. The yeshom kol shein meimir raglav machmitzin, that is his meiraglayim doesn't become masriach when it sits around for a while. That's one of the detergents that we have in terms of cleaning off a kesem, when meiraglayim becomes masriach after a time. That's where the Gemara discusses it. Acherim amrim kol shorochitz bimosa gesham vein besor mala hevel, he bathes in the winter time and no heat comes out of his skin. Rav Shimon Elazar amr kol shekolu lakay ve'nikar ve'nish le'isha, his voice it sounds like a woman's voice. Veizui Islandis, what's an Islandis? Kol Shiba Sesram Loivia Besaros, Vafilu Ivia Lachar Mikanare Kalinus Lechotvreha. If she turns 20 and still doesn't have Shtei Saros, even though she has Shtei Saros later on, still she's an Islandis. Veiluin Simana, and these are the Simanim of an Islandis. Kol Shein Ladadim, she doesn't have breasts. Umiskash Bishas Tashmish, Tashmish Amit is very painful for her. Rumshim Mumil Lomer, Kol Shein Lashipolime Ayim Kanashim. She doesn't have a lower abdomen that sticks out like a woman, like women have. Rav Shimon Elazar Amar Kol Shekola Ava Ve'in Nikeres Bein Isha Le'ish. Her voice is very thick, and you can't tell the difference between her voice and a man's voice. Itmar Simani Sris Rav Huna Amar Achiu Kulam. Rav Huna says you need to have all of the Simani Sris in order to be considered a Sris. Rav Yochanan Amar Filu Be'echamehen. Rav Yochanan says, nah, any one of the Simani Sris would make a person a Sris. Hecha Devi Shtei Saros Bezakin different kliyamalo pligi dachiu kulan. When there's shtei saros in the beard, so everyone would agree that if you're going to call such a person a sris, he needs to have all of the other simanei sris. Ki pligi b'shalo hevi. The machlokas is, what if he doesn't have shtei saros in the beard? Is just one of the other ones good enough, or do you need all of the other simanei sris? Elahad amar luhu rabba baravua l'rabbanon. Einu beib rav nachum ni b'sara mal hevel esiv lebras kiman k'rav huna. So when they said you have to check Rav Nachman and see if when he bathes in the wintertime, if the heat comes out of his body, so then he can get married, then you could give your daughter to him to marry. So that seems like you were assuming like Rav Huna. Like Rav Huna's shita, in terms of that it's Achiyu Kulam, that he's only going to be a Sris if he has all the Simanim, because we have to check for every last one. Says Mar Lo, Rav Nachman Sichi Dikna Havilei. He had stubble in his beard, and therefore we need to just because he had stubble in his beard, so that's why we have to check that he has every last Simen. But if he doesn't have a beard, then you don't have to check for every last Simen. Then any one of the Simanim would be good enough to define him as a Sris. Okay, Bez Hashem, we'll pick up at 2 dots tomorrow.